Welcome to the AI Business Podcast, where we feature conversations with interesting guests at the intersection of artificial intelligence and business.
Hi, I'm Deborah Yao, the editor of AI Business, and I'm very pleased to welcome Kunal Purohit, who is the Tech Mahindra Chief Digital Services Officer. Welcome, Kunal, to our podcast.
Thanks, Deborah, for having me. Thank you.
So tell me about what you do at Tech Mahindra.
In my current role at TechM, I wear two hats. Hat number one is where I bring to bear all emerging technologies, the power of emerging technologies, and create new solutions that our clients then deploy in their environment and drive business benefits from there. And therefore me and my teams help customers move from a traditional operating model to a digital operating model, and now more so a cognitive operating model, where they are using more and more insights and the power of AI to be able to deliver outcomes faster and higher client satisfaction. So that's hat number one. The second hat I wear is I'm also on the executive council for what we call as Wave 4 initiatives, where every time there is a new idea within the company, within TechM, to create new businesses of our own, where we can set up a platform and scale it and monetize it over a period of time, we kind of try and enable that for the organization. So over the last 3 to 4 years, we have launched about 4 such initiatives, which will hopefully create value for Mahindra as a company over the lifespan of these ventures. So those are the two things that I do at TechM.
So we'll talk about your ventures a little bit later, but first I want to focus on digital transformation. That's been a buzzword for a while now, but now with AI, it really gives new life to that term. So tell me, how do you combine AI with digital transformation to drive revenue growth?
Sure. No, absolutely. I think fantastic point. The enterprises over the years realized that they always had data with them, but they had never really looked at that data the way they are starting to look at it now, in terms of being able to draw insights and in terms of being able to trigger action based on those insights. I think large amounts of efforts over the last decade and a half has been across automating processes, across creating applications which are more scalable as enterprises went global, creating more customer satisfaction through better, engagement, creating value at that zone between customer and the enterprise. And now they are realizing that with the power of AI, they can use data and not just monetize some of it, but also create insights that can get into higher level of personalization, higher level of customer service, and higher level of predictability of whether it is operations, whether it is customer service and what have you, right? So the ability to infuse AI across the digital stack is starting to become pretty pervasive, all pervasive, I must say, whether it is infrastructure, application support, network operations, client engagement, customer service, sales and marketing. So across the stack, the ability to infuse AI is what is scaling over the last 3 to 4 years. And it's become quite significant with some of these newer techniques around generative AI, discriminative AI, becoming very consumerized over the last 1 year or so.
Right. So can you tell me where, when you deal with clients, where they are on the AI journey today? And then we'll get into generative AI a little bit later, but just AI, which has been around for a while.
Sure. I think, at TechM, we engage with enterprises all the time to assess their AI, maturity, AI journey maturity, where we, at a very, very high level, the way we have seen the enterprises traverse this journey is they've always had some automation COE. So typically enterprises have had efforts that they put in and sometimes a dedicated team to bring new solutions around automation, which over the years became a team that was supporting doing intelligent automation. So, bringing more insights based, more products which were slightly more AI enabled products enabling process automation, enabling various aspects of business value chain automation. So the transition has been from automation to intelligent automation. You know, this transition typically was the RPA and then the intelligent RPA side of the world. And then that kind of traversed over to extending that to see, hey, can AI use cases now be done through that particular effort, right? So therefore, you know, extending intelligent automation to help build use cases, which, which engulf AI techniques, which created models, which brought in AI ML techniques in the enterprise, and, tested them out. And after successful tests, efforts were kind of made to launch across the enterprise. So that's the third phase. And then now the latest phase of maturity is where enterprises who have gone deeper with AI are now extending to leverage the same to explore possibilities of using generative AI and not just the AI techniques to kind of, explore new cases and also increase productivity of the organization or the teams that are, doing coding and engaged in various activities. So that's the four-step maturity that we have seen. If you look at where most of the enterprises are, I think they are between 2 and 3. And, we have a 1 to 5 scale of 1 to 5 across these four parameters. And we believe that most enterprises today are between intelligent automation and use of AI techniques for majority of their effort. And some of the, verticals or some companies who are slightly more forward looking, have the foresight, have the ability to spend, are, taking those significant steps in using generative AI techniques as well, right? So that's the approach that we see most enterprises taking. And, many of them struggle to scale AI. Many of them have tried it successfully internally for one division, one warehouse, one business unit. But sometimes the ability to manage that and the, use the same model across the enterprise becomes a bit challenging. And therefore, TechM comes in to kind of support with various frameworks that we bring to bear and stuff like that. So those are the four areas where we have seen enterprises, be in their journey for AI.
So why are companies struggling to scale AI and what are some possible solutions?
I think there are various levels at which or various parameters across where you could measure a company's efforts and their struggle to scale AI. And they don't just end at the level of technology. Yes, there are some aspects of technology and we'll double click on some of them. But there are aspects of data culture, how pervasive is data-driven thinking in the organization. And sometimes that is also a crucial factor, right? Are top management taking decision based on gut feels or are they taking decision based on data? And therefore there is this whole granularity of data, quality of data and data driven culture, right? So that's one angle where we have seen enterprises who have traditionally not been data driven culture organization. Somehow aspiring to be there, and quite rightly so, and engaging with partners who can take them through that journey. So that's one angle which is not necessarily tech driven, but behavior driven. How do you find some champions in the organization who can, use some of these and show success, and then, that whole culture grows across the organization. I think the second area where enterprises struggle is the fear of not doing because something might go wrong. We have seen many customers who are not even starting to experiment. And some of these technologies like generative AI today, the sooner enterprises get on board, the sooner they can experiment, the sooner they learn, and the sooner they can start to drive benefits as the technology itself, matures. Yes, there are many new factors and there are some risks associated every time there is a new technology launched or a new product launch, but the ability or the fear of enterprises not to take that step is very, very critical. We have seen that enterprises look at first finalizing all the business use case, what will be the benefit, what if I, you know, what will be the outcome if I implement all of this at scale, and then only do they start taking those first steps. Whereas we have seen that if you do a few experiments, if you get a few people, you know, working on areas which can create high impact and the viability of tech is still easy, then you can get some confidence going across the organization. So that's the second area where we are seeing enterprises struggle to scale. Third is coming to tech. I think, again, various levels of challenges in the tech side of the world. As I mentioned earlier, sometimes you build a model for a warehouse. That warehouse had different levels of technology. You went for vision tech, and that had certain amount of infrastructure that had some, you know, devices from which data was labeled and, you know, captured and things like that. And then when you try to use the same model across other warehouses, the technology support, the various parameters support, then, you know, don't integrate well. And then the outcomes and the efficacy is found wanting. At the same time, the platform to manage operations of data, you know, how do you continuously keep the data updated? How do you, or the model updated rather? So model management and all of that also becomes a bit of a task. You know, most enterprises, the data scientists want to work on the best part of it, which is building the algorithm, building the model. But then, you know, there is 90% of hard work, grunt work, which goes around, you know, making it successful and sustaining it. I think many enterprises are still struggling to understand the magic of how to scale it. You know, I think quite a few of them have achieved success in one or two areas at some level, but there is a continuous strife to find people and the ability to have platform centric and the ability to scale a model across the enterprise, or, you know, have multiple use cases for that matter. How do you systematically, you know, whether it's a technique based AI or whether it is process based AI, how do you use this to kind of scale across the enterprise? So sometimes these tech and scalability is are seen as a challenge. And then, of course, you have the people side of the world, right? How many people do you have that understand architecture thinking, that understand some of these newer techniques? How many of them understand, you know, the ability to kind of cross-link the benefits and the use case and create an outcome that is successful and not just an academic outcome, right? A lot of times you end up looking at academic outcomes which are not deployable in production, and then, you know, you kind of lose confidence. So I think these four or five factors are some of the factors that enterprises struggle with today. And one last, you know, one other factor which is significant is sometimes there is a cost associated with it too. Every time you train a model, and you must have seen all the graphs out there, and, you know, some of our own research suggests that, you know, training a model which is broad takes a significant amount of compute effort, and then, you know, sometimes it can disrupt the business case itself, right? Cost of training, cost of building versus cost of outcome, and how much money do we have within enterprises today to kind of, you know, deploy here becomes a big question mark. So the ability to have a view on cost and yet be able to take those first steps, yet be able to take those second steps, right? So from experiments to POVs to scale, if that's the journey, how do you consistently take that? A lot of enterprises kind of struggle. They have domain expertise. So I must confess, many and most enterprises have good domain expertise to understand where some of the process is breaking, what could be the potential use cases, but deploying that into execution and building around the scale is where they end up struggling, or they end up having a you know, vision and a path, but how fast can they achieve? That may be the right way rather than saying struggle.
So those are really legitimate concerns. So what do you say to these executives who bring up these worries?
Sure. So I think first thing we did, and, you know, if you kind of track TechM, you'll realize we were the first in the industry amongst our peers to launch something called the Generative AI Studio. You know, if I just take one example, earlier this calendar year, we launched, what we call Generative AI Studio, that enables enterprises take those first baby steps in understanding the power of generative AI and doing some experiments, right? So we said experiment studio as a service, or just the studio that helps you without putting a lot of build effort, without putting a lot of money behind building new models. You look at 30 plus capabilities that we put in the studio across code generation, across, you know, text, across content generation, across vision, video, image, right? These six variables. And we say that you experiment, because it is also around the time that when we launched it, several enterprises had challenges with understanding the four critical elements of generative AI, which are, will it create data, you know, privacy issues? How secure is the platform? Am I going to send everything back into cloud? Will it send back some, you know, something phishing for information, some ransomware, etc.? So that was second. The third was, will there be copyright issues? Right? Who is responsible if somebody raises a question on the copy, the whole thing? And then the last one is, the code that may be generated, is the quality of that code good? So these four factors were kind of on the top of mind of all our customers, if I can confess that. Each one of them at a different stage. And then, you know, since then, product vendors, the hyperscalers have also kind of, matured to say, you can get all this on a private secure cloud or a public cloud with secure environment, and options like that. But we said, you know, while all of the technology evolves, if you could test with some of your use cases, then you kind of then start to increase your maturity levels, right? And that is where we had a tremendous amount of traction, quite a few wins since then, where we got into specific use cases, and we can double click on some of the use cases if you're interested. But suddenly then customers were no longer talking generic, power of possibility of new tech, but actually then trying to solve specific problems. So that's where the journey is at today. So that's one example of how we went about solving the generative AI, or we are going about solving the generative AI, opportunity at various clients.
So you mentioned use cases. Can you just give us some examples of use cases your clients have launched, and what was the performance?
I think there are many horizontal, what we call as horizontal use cases, which are generally applicable across industries. And then there are very nuanced use cases which are specific to a particular vertical or an industry. So to give you an example of horizontal use cases, we are seeing almost most of the, or all the enterprises are looking at better knowledge search or knowledge management use for generative AI. So how can I engage my employees, my customers, my channel partners better? How can I manage the knowledge, whether it is documents or in whichever format it is, and use generative AI techniques to provide better answers which are slightly more empathetic to the person who is asking, and answers which are more accurate? We've always seen chatbots not being accurate enough, but can I overlay the whole technology with generative AI to be able to generate, better answers to such queries? And then, that goes into individual verticals. So for one of our group companies, we created a model where and this is a resorts company, provides, vacation resorts to consumers. And there are many queries around, what does the facility have? Does it have a heated swimming pool? And, several questions. Is there a good tourist spot closer to the resort? And then, the experience of clients kind of ask, or potential customers for that business asking questions on the, website or mobile app were resulting in a bit of a to and fro. Sometimes they would not get accurate answers. And the efficacy of that engagement was close to 63% by some of the measures that we. And we've just, you know, gone ahead and done a pilot to, you know, bring more generative AI techniques there. And we are seeing model works very well. So the efficacy of the model in responding to questions, queries, it, of course, you know, we trained it with some detailed this thing, is significantly higher at 91%. And at the same time, we are also now involved in upgrading the data infrastructure, the hardware for them, because initially there were some performance issues. And this, you know, is journey across many customers, you know, while suddenly the model performs, but, you know, the performance of the platform, the application goes down because it's kind of there are latency issues and that creates disruption. So that's one example where aggregating documents which have answers to queries, aggregating various, you know, forms of insights, and then being able to sift through and provide answer is what we are seeing as, you know, knowledge search as one big horizontal use case. Then if you look at verticals, we have had, you know, oil and gas industry come to us and say, we spend tremendous amount of top dollar in drawing up contracts and, you know, various significant amount of money goes into engaging high cost resources like lawyers, you know, travel, etc. Can a base contract be generated by using some of these techniques? So for a very large, you know, oil and gas or pipeline company, we are kind of now engaged in extending their automation and AI COE to say, let's build some of this so that they can save money and not have to hire, you know, law firms for building contracts from scratch. So that's another example, which is nuanced to that particular industry, because then you have models helping them build 60% of the contract upfront. And then you kind of, you know, you do need to bring human effort in. So that kind of supports the accuracy. It supports the, you know, the final closure in terms of where some of this is being led. But these are some of the examples that enterprises are using, whether it is horizontal, whether it is vertical, right? Engagement, better customer service. In doing so, many enterprises feel, and we believe that enterprises who have been putting a lot of money in just aggregating data in a tech platform, paying subscription license fees for that particular platform, that will also go away. So they will end up saving money in just having platforms that only provide integration of documents or collating of documents in one place, to being able to use this to provide insights and, you know, create trigger action. And we are seeing some of that happen in contact center agent use case, for example, where an agent has, you know, on a desktop, multiple applications, multiple this thing to go through. So this, hopefully this gives you some color of some of the examples, some of the use cases that we are seeing in our enterprises, in the target market they operate with.
What are some mistakes you've seen clients make as they approach getting deeper into AI or even starting with generative AI?
So I think, you know, I touched upon some of this, you know, a few minutes back. I think one of the core mistakes is they take too much time to start because of the belief that, you know, what if something goes wrong? In many client conversations today, when I kind of share my learning, when we kind of help them bring some of these thought process, the first question they ask is, you know, who will be responsible if something goes bad? Are you going to, be responsible if something goes bad? And, you know, to a certain extent, there is significant development on that side as well. You probably heard 3 or 4 weeks back, Microsoft, for example, you know, went public and said they'll indemnify if customers felt that, you know, GitHub Copilot had some issues on copyright. So I think the first thing that they sometimes do wrong is not to take that first step too much. And with some of these macroeconomic factors playing hard, that sometimes also doesn't play. There are too many questions versus, but we have seen, we have been able to resolve that with the generative AI studio. I think the second one is the understanding of, you know, how much effort goes into creating an outcome, which is the desired outcomes, versus what the, you know, the first step comes out, right? You do need a lot of training. You do need models to be fine-tuned. While, let's say, in case of LLMs, many of them options are available. But then you do need to, if you're leveraging them, you do need to fine-tune them. So the second mistake sometimes they make is, am I going to expect too much in the first few days itself, right? Across all my customer segment, across all my use cases, you got to deliver. So I think that journey we chalk out for customers to say, here's the start and here's how we do the first few things properly, and then implement a few things very quickly, immediately after it. And that's very crucial as well. And I think that we have seen comforts clients. It also, stops disruption at the zone of, their customer and the enterprise. Otherwise, the consumers or, B2B customers, they end up having a bad experience. Suddenly you're engaging with technology which has not been trained well. So that's the second area. And I think the culture part is, comes along with it, to be able to continuously, build on it and not just treat this as a technology, but also treat this as a way of life, not worry too much about jobs being lost. I think more jobs will tend to get created over a period of time. We've all seen that through what we call the lump of labor policy, right? But sometimes that fear, makes them stop, and that's where they kind of fall short. And you've seen many enterprises then come out of it and take the challenge. Some of the large enterprises in financial services, in telco world that we work with, they've actually, converted some of these challenges into opportunity for their people to take up the initiative. The CDO offices have, created operating model, and I touched upon the cognitive operating model earlier. And they are now kind of creating up, operating model in terms of how this will be done at scale and how some of this will kind of create outcomes. So that's where, some of these enterprises that struggle and then try to come out and successful and, deliver the business benefits that some of these technologies offer.
So you oversee Garage 4.0, your startup incubator at the company. So can you tell me, how do you pick the startups to join this incubator, and what happens to them? Is the goal an IPO, or you want to absorb them into Tech Mahindra? What's tell me about Garage 4.0.
So, being a technology company that provides technology services and digital services to our clients, we also realize that there is a market to create, some of the software, create new platforms that can solve newer problems. And considering the way India as a country is growing, our chairman had a vision that, hey, is there a possibility of TechM having, new ideas and employees who have new ideas coming forth, TechM and the Mahindra Group providing seed funding. And then, we starting a venture. These ventures will sit outside of the TechM fold, operate as independent ventures, as startups. And then as they scale, they will go the external funding round. And the vision is to have, over the next 7 to 10 years, anywhere between 3 to 5 such ventures operating in segments that we believe where capabilities can be created externally. And then over a period of time, either brought inside TechM or, TechM or the group exits to create, valuation benefits, right? So both options are true. In some cases are, we are driven by investment thesis, where we believe that, hey, this area is going to expand, India as a target population or target market, and therefore let's build and then go the external funding route. So that's the fundamental premise: create value and then over a period of time either bring it back in. It could be, a capability that is in metaverse that suddenly over the next 5 to 7 years becomes scaled. It could be capabilities in quantum. We do quite a bit of work in quantum as well as part of our innovation labs. And, you know, that could suddenly start to appear scaled out, and we could either monetize it or bring it back in the TechM fold to help the existing customers. So that's broad construct of what we call, you know, Garage 4.0. Each of these enterprises sit outside the TechM organization.
So you mentioned metaverse. So what do you think about your client's focus? Is it still, I mean, it was a heavy, you know, hot buzzword last year until ChatGPT came around, and also blockchain. And then you mentioned quantum. Can you talk more about those?
Yeah, metaverse was talked more last year, but like, you know, companies like Facebook, now Meta, completely pivoted on it. But more on the consumer side, they're extremely, and then now they are starting to pivot with small, medium enterprises, and, you know, being able to leverage that as well. So I strongly believe, and we at TechM strongly believe, that that side of the world is, you know, going to sustain significantly. It's not just a fad or a buzzword. You know, particularly, you know, we are seeing significant uptick on in digital twins, for example, within the industrial metaverse. So metaverse to us comprises of consumer, enterprise, and industrial. Consumer is where, you know, kind of companies like Meta play. Enterprise is at the interface of, you know, functions within the company, and, you know, seeking collaboration. We work with many of our partners in that space. And then the third one is industrial, where, you know, we see digital twins as a significant play, where enterprises are looking at using some of this to do things better, simulate before they actually, you know, incur build costs. And also not just that, but also bring many different teams across the organization together. So for an auto company, global auto company, we are working with their design and engineering team to say, can they collaborate better? And and they are, you know, also in the export market. So can they come out with newer versions faster? They move looking at left-hand drive to right-hand drive car, and can they use some of this tech to be able to create new model, experiment with it, bring the design team, the clay modeling team in the virtual world now, and the engineering team together to kind of, hey, now that's, we had a bit of a storm here, Deborah, so I think there is just a couple of minutes of electricity outage, but we can continue. And then we had a, so you know, in this instance, we are helping them redesign the whole, you know, approach to bringing the components of the new model together in a digital twin. And that helps them shave off a few months to sign off on the new model, right? And that's significant in the scheme of things that you see when every day, the, you know, car companies are relooking at their business processes to launch new models faster. So digital twin, as part of our overall metaverse practice and business, continues to scale. On the consumer side, significant efforts also being, you know, put in, where some of these platforms for a bank, we converted, you know, a bank wanted us to target, you know, new population, younger population. And they were on, you know, this is an Indian bank, a large Indian bank, trying to, you know, relook at the target segment. And one of the target segment was, you know, the teenagers and young people. And they felt that the ability to engage through some of these emerging platforms based websites would be much higher. The ability to engage with their potential clients would be much higher. And therefore, we built a consumer metaverse platform where you could engage with the bank, find new products. And, you know, instead of going to a branch to engage, you could kind of start to bring in more and more, you know, understanding of what the bank offers to you there. So essentially, that's happening. And, you know, what differentiation do we bring to bear? What we have done is, over the last 18 months or so, we have kind of created some of the layers of frameworks and technology components of our own. So at the heart of it, let's say if you look at interface between the technology, interface between the customer and the brand, we have created our own, or we are in the process of creating our own meta human, that can, you know, that can help you create your own virtual photorealistic avatar. That then engages with our framework that enables you to have conversational AI brought in. We have something called Entelio there, which allows conversion of speech to text and text back to speech. And then last but not the least, the lowest layer is this whole, the AI layer, which kind of brings all the knowledge, the data, the insights together and presents it back into the meta human, right? So therefore, that three layered structure that allows us to amalgamate the, you know, the meta human, the metaverse in the front for consumer, and the power of technology that improves the chatbot that we have traditionally seen not as efficient, suddenly become very efficient, right? So that's the way we're kind of seeing metaverse play out for us. By several analysts, we are already endorsed as leaders in the market. So we do believe we have got our vision right to a certain extent, and we want to continue to be committed to this path. And likewise, technologies around blockchain, where we are seeing some specific things scale up, like identity management, like supply chain visibility. And many enterprises are using blockchain techniques, not to just have that on open ledger, but also translate that into closed ledger, slightly more closed system from an infrastructure point of view, but have better visibility. And some of the infrastructure providers have also launched products around it that uses the tenets of blockchain, provides modern technology, and enables creating better visibility, brings trust in the system. The idea is to be able to bring trust and therefore help companies progress their efforts on supply chain visibility and things like that. So for a pharma company, drug vial supply chain, we enable them through some of this technology as an example. And then quantum, we are seeing significant development happening in quantum as well. I think as AI solves the application side, quantum is relying significantly on the hardware, challenges getting resolved. And hopefully the two of them come together to solve real complex problems. We have done one for a telco customer to look at, using quantum in QKD into, into the networks and trying to optimize network management and, things like that. So those are some of the examples where we want to stay committed, and are scaling already across many of these emerging technologies.
My last question to you is, what are the next trends you're seeing coming in AI and digital services?
I think some of this, the explainability quotient of, the use of tech, ethics in tech is going to become significant. There would be capabilities enterprises are already seeking to say, hey, do you have services that you offer in GRC space in AI, generative AI? That will start to scale. That is already seeing significant traction. And we have service providers like us have to either future train people or bring people who understand this whole interface of risk and technology and the possibilities of where these two can kind of intersect when it comes to some of these really bleeding edge tech, right? So that's one area where we believe more and more effort will go in and scale. And then, of course, there is still these technologies are still early. So you will see many new versions come out as we scale more and more. So, enterprises are now looking at whether to go narrow, small is big. Can we build our own foundational model? TechM is the only, company in our peer group. You perhaps read about it, that is building a foundational model for India, right? We call it Project Indic, Indic LLM Project Indus, where we are trying to target the Indian grassroots level, collecting data sets, while there are languages and data available for various languages, but dialects, there are significant number of dialects for each language, and to be able to service each consumer in the same consistency. we believe that it will require some of this technique to be deployed. So I think the ability to now frame the business problem in a way that use the business problem in a way that the solution could be a slightly more reimagined way of technology. We used to have reimagined business processes. Now we will end up having reimagined use of tech in some cases, because you don't need to go all broad. You don't need to. And therefore, that will also become significantly high. And we'll continue to see scale there. I think these two come to mind as some of the immediate scale up challenges. And then, of course, we are seeing significant amount of development on technology in hardware. So, A100 computes to H100s and things like that. So ability to do more and more compute, faster compute, at the same time use less energy. Today, it is somewhat popularly known that training a model takes about 57, X of this whole sustainability effort compared to a human doing it, right? So you are 57x lower efficient in the sustainability terms because you're using so much energy and so much power. Can the new technologies deliver that without consuming that much power? So I think it's a combination of being able to bring hardware, bring focused technology and not just the explored ones, and of course then solve real business problems and not ones that are already solved through the automation and the robotics that we already have.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. What insightful comments. Thank you, Kunal.
Thanks, Deborah. Thanks. You have a nice day.
To get more AI news and insights, visit our website at aibusiness.com. Until next time, thank you for listening.